When Janiah said Jesus wants to dance with us, I mean, he's told me that before. Of course, I've danced with him. Whatever, y'all call it whatever you want. He calls it dancing, so I don't care. I don't even care. It's just being with him. You know what I mean? What does it matter? It's just being with him, you know? But I want to just share this thought. I was thinking about it, the people at New York, but it's happened my whole Christian life. I come in contact with people, and God flows through me and touches them. And then they're like amazed, like, oh, this is great. But so often they think I'm a good person or something. They don't realize it's God. I tell them it's God because I tell them if you met me without Jesus, I'd make you nauseous. So if you got blessed, it had to be God. But watch this. Do we want a touch or a longer experience with Him? We get to choose who and what we're going to hang out with and associate with. You see, you could be touched. Come here, get blessed. Oh! But there's 168 hours in a week. You spend one here. You get touched. You get blessed. Oh! I had warm, fuzzy feelings. Oh! I had little God bumps. And then you leave. And then you live the regular life, 167 hours. And it's dun, 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 and it's like miserable, and you're confused, and you don't know which way to go, and you're trying, and you try harder, and you try harder, and everything seems to be going against you, and it seems like it's a conspiracy theory, but I wonder what it's like just to hang out with Jesus and walk through life just hanging out with Jesus. I know what it's like. I'm just kind of throwing it out there. Do you know what it's like? Yeah. See, I can't. Religion is like way too shallow for me. I can't handle it. I have got to have this intimate, vibrant, hanging out in the bosom of the Father relationship through the blood of Jesus. I've got to hang out with Him. Does that mean I do everything right? No! And what's so amazing is God has no expectation in me. God only has desire. If you put expectation in someone, what happens? They let you down. How about when you put expectation in yourself? I'm going to live for God this week. I let me down, don't we? But if every minute of every day you just say, God, here I am. And He's like, I want you just like you are. And you're like, I remember when He said that to me in 1977. I'm like, I just love you so much. I just want to give you something. And He's like, all I want is you. And I'm like, no, no, no. I mean, I want to give you something good. And He's like, Harvey, all I want is you. And I'm like, but I want to do something for you. And He's like, Harvey, all I want is you. And I'm like, I mean, it took me, you know, I'm such a quick learner. He probably only had to tell me about 50 to 100 times. And then I find it was like, all you want is me? Don't you understand He wants you? And not like Uncle Sam where He wants to use you. He wants you because you are uniquely designed to meet a need in His heart that no one else can. If you have 6 children... like we do, and one graduates and goes to heaven, you can't say, well, you have 5 others. It's okay. That one is precious to you. Do you understand? Don't you understand that when He says the shepherd leaves the 99 that are hanging out with Him to go find the one that's lost? I wasn't even going there, but I'm thinking God is, little Hudson. Lord, help me to see the people that are lost. Help me to see the people that are lost. And then, help me to lay my life down So it's not about me, but it's like hanging out with Father, looking in His eyes, and He's like, would you just let me love that one through you? Well, what is it going to look like? He said, does it matter? Because it's His love. I think a lot of those people in New York, I don't think they ever have experienced love. And nobody takes the time for them because there's so many. When you're driving or riding, I should say, because I didn't get to drive the whole time I was there. I don't want to go into all that right now. I mean, I do. But, well, when I did get to drive, Sue said, you fit right in. You're just like a New York cabbie, you know? I said, they don't scare me a bit. They don't intimidate me a bit. I said, I can just go. She said, but it's my new van. Please don't hit my van. I said, if they stop, I won't. We must have been, I mean, one of them starts pulling out. And I'm like, you ain't coming in, dude. I'm just telling you. But my wife was like, my van. So I had to stop, you know. But normally, I could hold my own with the New York cabbies. Okay, three goals at Burning Bush. Know Jesus personally. Hang out with Jesus so you live victoriously. And number three, love others to Jesus. That's our goal here. It's not about feeling good. It's not about having a soup kitchen. It's not about having a whatever. It's about Jesus. And it's about living Jesus. It's about a living 24/7 hanging out with Jesus. And you know what? When you mess up, fess up. It's just so simple. Jesus, I messed up again. He said, and what? Did you think you weren't going to? He said, I didn't expect you not to. He said, I desire you not to. He said, but I don't expect it. He said, I'm here to forgive you again. I'm here to wash you clean in my precious blood. But God, please forgive me. And He's like, what sin are you talking about? You already asked me. I forgave you. What sin are you talking about? Remember, we started whenever the last time we were here, and I didn't get to go through it all the way, so I'm going to go through today, and I'm just hitting it. What is in your closet? That's the title. What is in your closet, or what's under your bed? Remember when we talked about the illustration of being scared of what's under the bed or in the closet? Remember? And everyone's afraid of the dark. Naturally, we don't want to face what we're afraid of, but we run from it. Well, that's why people run in their lives. That's why they run to all the things they do, escape, you know, in different ways, whether it's drugs or sex or power or busyness or whatever. We try to escape. We try to get away from because we don't know how to handle life because we weren't designed to. I'm sorry. I'm just going to give you this. I tell it to people every day because people, Jesus said, now you got to understand, this is hard for me. I was born deformed, 2 miles, one ear. So Jesus said, Harvey, if you just listen to people, you'll find out that they are all full of needs. So like I'm talking to people on the phone about my business, right? And I'm going to set up an appointment, for example. And I say to the lady, she says, well, I'd like to book the job. And I say, okay, well, what about next Tuesday? Does that work? And the lady says, well, I can't do it Tuesday because my husband's having surgery that day. And I said, oh, really? What's his name? His name is George. And I said, well, hang on. She goes, what? Jesus, would you please take care of George? Because you're the only doctor we know that doesn't practice, and you still make house calls. So, Jesus, would you please minister to Cynthia, and would you comfort her and let her know she's in the best hands because you're the best doctor? And would you just take care of George? Would you surround him with doctors and nurses that would love him and would care and allow you to work through their hands and touch and minister to the needs? Thank you, Jesus. I know you'll do more than I ask. Thank you, Jesus. We just commit them into your hands. Normally, by that time, they're crying. Thank you. Thank you so much. You don't know how much. I hear this every day. You don't know how much I needed that. He did. That's why He told me to do it. And I don't put a throttle on them. I don't feel like doing it right now. I'll do it a little bit. I don't do that. It's like fully, freely, no restriction, no restraint. You want to live, God? So I get to get in on that. It's not just for me. It's for all of us. Do you know when we make choices, that's when we mess up? I'm sorry. Let's just say that again. Do you know when we make choices, out of our own free will, we mess up. Anybody want to argue with that? We need to stay here for a while, camp on this one. How about this? See, you could meet Jesus, He becomes your Savior because He just saved you, scraped you out of the gutter, washed clean His precious blood, put His holy precious Spirit inside of you, and then adopted you and called you His son. But now, we're just saved sinners. We're all sinners. I'm sorry, are we getting this?
Yeah.
I can slow down. Right. Okay. Now watch. I love doing this. It's so much fun. Okay, watch this. Now what He's looking for is us to surrender to His Lordship. See, we just got to make this understanding. When I make choices, that's when I mess up. If I put the hands on the steering wheel of my life, it's going in the ditch. Except for God, it's going in the ditch. So, how about if we be like Jesus? I want to be like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus?
Yeah.
Here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm getting ready to go to the cross, Father. They're going to strip me. They're going to beat me. They're going to stick a crown of thorns in my head. They're going to put nails in my hands. And they're going to hang me up as if I'm rejected of heaven and earth. I don't think so. This is not what I really want in the flesh. Nevertheless, here's Jesus. Not my will, but thine be done. I'll take my hands off the steering wheel, Father, if that's what would glorify you. That's what you want? Are you sure? Okay. Here. You can have the steering wheel. Now, y'all can do with me what you want. You see, it's not my life anymore. I lay down making the choices. It's not about what I think, what I feel, what I want. Because if it is, it's about me. What do you want? I quit making the choices. And then all day, He doesn't just come along and bless me. Bless me. What He does is like that little child right there. Jesus picks us up and He carries us next to His heart. All day, He carries us. Religion is us trying to carry Him. I ask people that are in religion, do you read your Bible? Yeah, but not enough. Do you pray? Yeah, but not enough. Do you go to church? Yeah, but not enough. Do you witness? Yeah, but not enough. Do you give? Yeah, but not enough. See, it's them trying to do it. Relationship is all about God doing it for you, with you, in you, and through you. It's relationship. See, I don't got to worry about what I give. Yesterday, we finally had checks come in this week, and we finally got paid for like 5 weeks that we were behind. Okay? So I hand Sue this chunk of money, and then she takes this chunk of money, or a certain chunk of the money, and says, this is what goes into tithes. And I went, it does? That much? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, okay, it's all His anyway. If, you know what I mean? And if that's what He says He wants us to give, that's what we give. I don't have to worry about it. Well, how are the bills going to get paid? It's not my problem. If we lose this house, it's not my problem. I've lost a house before. If we lose our car, it's not my problem. We've lost a car before. If I go without eating, it'll do me good. It's not my problem. I can still live off the fat of the land. You know? It's what are you up to? It's losing your life. Now, if you want to keep it, just keep going on. It's like those people at New York. They come along. I touch them. God ministers to them, loves them. They go, wow. And then they leave kind of like floating a little bit. And then after you see them, after a while, they're right back into hanging out with whatever they were hanging out with. You see, God will come and touch you. But if you want more of God, it's like what Janiah said. He said, I'm right here. Would you like to dance with me? You don't have to. He says, I'll just wait. He said, you won't even know I'm here. I'll just wait. I won't be like Harvey. I won't be intrusive. I'll just wait. And you can make all your choices. Remember the illustration of being scared of what's under the bed or in the closet? Everyone is afraid of the dark. We have to choose to face our fears, the dark, to get the victory, to get over it. Otherwise, we're paralyzed. We're kept bound and immobilized if we don't face them. Our Father God wants us to bring them our fears, our history, our sins, our life to Him. He has provided for all of our needs through His Son, Jesus Christ, and His blood. Okay? Now, we're going to read some verses. I don't have time to wait for all of you to find them. Okay? Because every time I try doing that, I never make it. So I'm going to read all these verses today. You write down the ones you can. You read the ones you can. But here's the key. You pay attention on purpose. Because remember, like we say, there's a test at the end. It's called your life. Okay? Here we go. Okay? Matthew 12:31. Wherefore, Jesus says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. I'm stopping there. Okay? All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. All kinds, all sizes, all shapes, all quantities shall be forgiven unto men. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson and stick out, they shall be as wool and cut off. Isaiah 55:6-7. Listen to this. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. You know, you don't just find God when you want. You don't just wake up one morning, I think I'm going to go get saved today. I think I'm going to go find God today. I think I'm going to start living for God. It doesn't work that way. When God draws you, it says, John 6:44, no man can come unto me, Jesus said, except the Father which has sent me draw him. John 16:7-11 talks about the Holy Spirit, and He will draw you. He's going to deal with you. Okay? Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. If He's dealing with you, you better deal with Him. Call ye upon Him while He is near. See, He may be near, but you're not aware. Because when you're in the deepest, darkest, worst place, He's there. But He's crying, He's weeping, He's grieving. He's not mad. He's grieving while you're hurting yourself and others. While you're rejecting light to walk in darkness. While you're rejecting life to pursue death. Call ye upon Him while He is near. See, He's near. But when you are aware He's near, that's when you need to deal with Him. And don't take it lightly. Okay? Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. Is that not talking about us? Let's talk about all the bad people, right? I just want to make sure we get that clear. What's wicked? Doing bad. Going against God. Being selfish. Hurting others. Did I cover it? Wicked. Let the wicked forsake his way. Come on. Straighten up. Act like you're mine. Here. Come on, come on. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto God, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:6-7. Okay? Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, in other words, as the same as I'm alive, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But I do have pleasure when the wicked turn from his way and live. And then God pleads, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? 1 Timothy 1:13-15. Paul says, before I was a blasphemer and a persecutor, he killed Christians, and injurious, I hurt people. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord, the ability of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul said, of whom I am chief. That's why I say it all the time. I'm the worst. If he could save me, what in the daylights could he do with you? I'm telling you. Luke 7:47. I love this one. Wherefore, because I love them all. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Years ago, I got in church, you know, when I first got in church, April 3rd, 1977, I had got saved. I was a drug dealer. My hair wasn't down here anymore. It was only up to about here. That's that picture in the back of my Bible here. And I go in, I'm wearing my jeans and my jean coat, and I'm strutting in, you know, like some, you know, turkey. And I see all these people, and they're all like dressed in their nice suits and whatever, and they're all, so I like start hanging out with them, and I start dressing my nice suit and stuff. But as time went on, I said, Lord, I don't understand. They don't seem to love you like I love you. You don't seem to be what's most important to them. You seem to be important to them on Sunday between like 10 and 12:30. But the rest of the week, that's not what seems to be. You don't seem to be their life. They don't talk about you. They don't like bring many people here. I don't get it. I talk to them about reading their Bible, and they just get real quiet. I don't understand. And you know what God said to me one day? He said, Herb, it's because they don't realize how much they've been forgiven. So they don't love me very much. He said, but you realized that I had to scrape you out of a gutter. You realized that you were a low-down, sorry, scumbait, wretched, in the gutter, wicked, vile sinner. There was nothing good. That your heart, as he just sang, was prone to wander, prone to sin, prone to do anything but God. And he said, and you came to that. And he said, and you keep asking me to forgive you. And you keep marveling that I would accept you and love you and bless you and treat you as if you were Jesus instead of giving you what you deserve. He said, you don't ever take that for granted. And they do. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Do you realize how much you were forgiven? Ask God to show you. How much did you need to forgive me? I just want you to, if you can get that, I'm telling you, it'll just set you free. You see, this isn't to beat you up. This is like when you get it and then you start seeing and hearing all these verses about how He forgives us and how He loves us. And it's not because we're lovable, loving, or lovely. Do you understand? He loves us for who we are. See, she's over there doting all over that little girl. Oh, her face is doing all this. Yeah, she's like all lit up. Her eyes are sparkly. She can't keep her mouth shut. You know, it's like it's all happening. Right? And that little baby is not perfect. That little baby is an awesome little baby. Okay? It's a David Hannah output. It is awesome. Okay? It's awesome. It's the fruit of their doings. Okay? But you know what? That little girl's going to grow up. She's going to be selfish. She's going to scream when there's no reason for her to scream. She's going to stomp her little foot. She's going to try to do this for Daddy. You know? And she's over there loving on that little baby as if that baby was just like perfect. That's how God loves us. But you see, He gives us a free will. Unfortunately, when we get big enough, we start doing the cross in the arms, gritting our teeth, stiffening our backbone, turning our head, closing our ears. All right, brother. God bless you. God bless you. I'm glad that y'all know you have liberty. 1 John 1:8-10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. 1 John 2:1-2. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, He says, I don't want you to sin, but if you do sin, we have an advocate. We have an intermediary. A lawyer. Okay? We have an advocate with the Father. One who can approach the Father. And His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the... And Jesus, our lawyer, is the propitiation. He is the satisfactory payment for our sins. So any sin that... If Father did bring it up, Jesus would say, paid in full. You already told me it was paid in full. I already took care of it. It's all done. So now, let's get past that. He said, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See, everybody's sin is not forgiven. It's just available to be forgiven. It's only applicable when the individual makes the choice that they needed Jesus to die for them. That's the question I left with that guy at the fish store yesterday. Get through talking, witnessing. And he's like, wow. I said, you got a lot to think about? He goes, wow, yeah. And I said, I just want to leave you one question. He said, what's that? I said, did you personally need Jesus to die for you? And then I walked away. Because see, that's the whole crux of the matter. Did you personally need Jesus to die for you? Okay? And that's where it's got to come back to. Everything in the Bible always comes back to the cross. Because watch, it's our relationship with Him. And then out of that, it flows to our relationship with others. If this isn't the crux of your life, you're missing life. You're just existing. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And there's... Now we're going to talk about, for He will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:7-8. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. God says, for My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways, saith the Lord. Isaiah 43:25. God says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for Mine own sake. Here's Harvey's record, and it's sin, 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 mess up, failure, blah, 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 blah. And Jesus, God says, I blot all of these off your record for My sake. And then He says, and I will not remember thy sins. Have you brought a sin to Jesus? Jesus, will you please forgive me? And then what does He say? Yes. And then later when you come and say, Jesus, would you please forgive me of this sin? He said, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember that. Did you already get forgiveness on that? Then why do you bring it to me again? Now, if there's more root or connection to that, deeper stuff with that, God's like, hey, let's deal with it completely. But it's not like He's remembering that. What He's doing is He's trying to help you get free. Isaiah 44:22. God says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. Like a cloud you could not see. Oh, it wasn't one of you. It was my son Jim. On the way back from New York, when we were going through Pennsylvania, it was real pretty, but there was moisture, and we were going through the mountains, and there was so much fog, you couldn't even see on either side of the road. I mean, it was so thick. That's what He said. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud I blotted out thy sins. Return unto Me, for I have redeemed you. I bought you back. Isaiah 44:22. Ezekiel 34:6-7. And the Lord passed by before him, Moses, and proclaimed, God proclaimed before Moses, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, because Moses has said, I want to see your glory. So God walks by before him and says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. I just lost it. Give me a second. Keeping mercy for thousands. I like that. Keep going. Okay. Whoop. Okay. All right. There we go. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. He says, I don't care what you call it. I don't care if it's iniquity, the thought of sin. I don't care if it's transgression, where you've gone beyond a limit, or anything else. He said, all of it I can forgive, but I will by no means clear the guilty. You say, well, aren't we guilty when we sin? You say, yeah, but what he's talking about is he won't condemn the righteous, someone who's already got to take care of, okay? He won't hold them guilty, but he also won't be fooled just because somebody's given lip service. Like in Luke chapter 18 and talking about verses 9 through 14, when it talks about the Pharisee and the publican, and the Pharisee, it said, stood praying thus with himself, because he wasn't praying to God. He was only boasting his own thing. Cock-a-doodle-doo! I'm glad I'm not as others. Cock-a-doodle-doo! I fast. I tithe. I. See, God won't clear the guilty. But the one that smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, this man will go down to his house justified rather than the other. But God goes on to say, I do have mercy for thousands, but I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. That's why we need to deal with our sins. Any sin that we have not confessed or dealt with or admitted and brought under the blood of Jesus, that our children are, susceptible. That would be a good word. Susceptible, but what's a simpler word? Prone. Our kids are going to be prone or... that sin's going to get live in them because we are giving that sin license in our home. That's why we as dads, moms, need to confess our sin to break it so that our kids have a chance to get that out of their life, okay? Numbers chapter 14, verses 18 and 19. This is another place talking about where the Lord, before Moses. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon their children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. See, God forgives us as we go, because we don't just stop. But as we're living, even when we ask God to forgive, all we got to do is keep living, and we're going to sin. So we just got to keep short accounts with God, keep bringing that back under the blood of Jesus. As we become aware of it, bring it back to Him. God, please forgive me of that. I'd be glad to. Done. Okay, let's keep going. You see, it's like He wants to include us. We need to include Him. Psalm 51:1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto David after he, David, had gone into Bathsheba. That was, he went in and had sexual relations with somebody who was not his wife. While he was king and had his own wife. Have mercy upon me, O God, David said, according to thy loving kindness, according to the unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, where I've gone beyond the limits. Psalm 130, verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. You know what mercy is? It's when you don't get what you deserve. When people say, I just want justice. Justice is when you get what you deserve. I don't want justice. I want mercy. Please don't let me get what I deserve. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, thine sin, that thou hast transgressed, gone beyond the limits of the Lord thy God, and you have scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Luke chapter 7, where'd we go? Okay, we must have jumped back up there. Luke 7:47, and when he says, To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth much. Romans chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. You need time to read this one because it takes time to slow down and get this. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Adam sinned, and then sin fell upon mankind. But the free gift, which came by Jesus, is of many offenses unto justification. God takes all the sin and many offenses, and yet He can justify or declare us not guilty or innocent because it's a free gift through Jesus Christ. For if by one man's offense death reigned, or ruled by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, or the ability of God, and of the gift of righteousness. See, righteousness is not something we have. Righteousness is something God gives us. It's imputed. It's charged to our account. Okay? Through Jesus Christ. Then the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men under justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. People might have said, oh, I don't think this is a sin. And God said, well, I'll just put it in black and white, single-syllable words, make it real simple, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. I'll just give you one book, and now you can know this is right and this is wrong. Okay? No matter what the president says. Okay? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace, the ability of God, did much more abound. Why? That as sin hath reigned unto death, sin hath ruled unto death, even so might grace, or the ability of God, reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Sorry, I just get so excited. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. To the praise of the glory of His grace, His ability, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Jesus has made it where we could be accepted in the bosom, you gotta open your arm, Dad, the bosom of the Father. Jesus made us accepted. So we praise Him. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption. We are bought back because we sold ourselves to sin. We have redemption through His blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His ability, His grace. Verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. What I get out of that, one of the things I get out of that, is as I've dealt with people that are what you would call a bad person, people that are prostitutes and on the streets and doing drugs and sleeping all over the place and all the things they're doing, self-focused, living for anything but God. when I go to minister to those people and I tell them my testimony and I don't sugarcoat it, so many of them have said to me, "You mean God saved you? You did all that?" I go, "Yeah." And they've said, "I mean, I've had prostitutes, I've had hitmen say this to me. If God could save you, I bet He could save me." It's like, you see, because I was the example of the rotten guy. And Jesus loves me, and now I love Him. And they take hope in that. So when you're giving your testimony, don't sugarcoat it. Don't hide it. You're not a good example of Christ. Don't paint yourself as that. Make it clear. Now, you don't got to act like me. Go ahead and be yourself. But be honest, because it helps them. It gives them hope. You see, if you stand up front, like so many churches, "I'm the example of Christ. You ought to follow me. I'm the man of God." Then it's like, I've had people say to me, "Oh, you're a holy man." And I'm like, "I'm holy because of Jesus. I'm not holy because of me," unless you're talking about holes in my pants. You know, I had a lady I was talking to one time, Catholic. She goes, "But I'm not like you. You're a holy man." I said, "Ma'am, I'm a rotten sinner that Jesus found, and He scraped me out of the gutter." She's just looking. Because I kept going in there to get my clothes, whatever you call it, pressed or whatever you call it. I don't remember what you call it. Dry clean. What I'm saying is, this lady had this idea that there's holy people and then there's all the rest of us. All of us are in the same boat. We all need Jesus. Right? So we need to make it real clear and be honest about where we are and where we would be without Jesus. The last few verses. He delights in mercy. Because I got to go through this quick. So pay attention. Isaiah 44, 21 to 23. "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant," God says. "I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it." See, God did it. We didn't do it. The Lord hath done it. "Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forests and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel." Sometimes people want to start praising me, and I say to them, you know, tell me how good I am and all that. And I say to them, "I'm just a trophy of Calvary." I said, "If you're thinking there's any praise, it belongs to Jesus, because I'm a trophy of Calvary, because otherwise I'm a wretch. Any good thing in me, it's Christ. It's, you know, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." It's Jesus. And because of that, I sing and I dance, whether you like it or not. Psalm 51:7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow." Remember, God delights in mercy. Oh, please quit doing that. I don't know what the next verse was. Hang on one second. I'm so glad. It's because you know Jesus. It's just because you know Jesus. He delights in mercy. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy." He will turn again. God will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. See, we have cutoff points. You have cutoff points with people, don't you? God doesn't. He doesn't never give up. As a matter of fact, when people go to hell, and in Psalm 139, it says, "If I were to make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." God goes to hell. They're not aware of Him. They're not aware of light, presence, love. But God goes there and weeps over them, like it says in Jeremiah, in secret places. God never forgets us. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And He will subdue our iniquities. What does that mean? I'm going to stop. What does that mean? He will subdue our iniquities. Okay, let's break it down. What does subdue mean? Tame. What's another word? So He will tame our iniquities. What's iniquity?
Sin.
I'm only getting one respondent here. It's okay, you're doing a real good job. He will tame our sins. He will tame. Come in line. He will tame our sins. I've asked Him to forgive me. I've been trying to live like a Christian, but I just keep doing the same thing over and over. I keep hurting people. Okay? Did Jesus get up from the dead? Now the rest of those gods did they? There's only one God. Okay. Rest of them are imaginations or demons. Okay? You ready? He got up from the dead. Now, what's too hard for Him? Well, what about your sin? Your repetitive sin nature. Did it not say, and you're going to look it up later, right? You're going to look it up later. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. You just write that down, right? Micah 7, 18 and 19. And it says, He will subdue our iniquities.
Hallelujah.
You see, He's going to do it for us instead of us trying to do it. Of course you can't do it. God, I can't do this with you. And He said, tighten your seatbelt. We're going for a ride. Yes, sir? Right? But He's going to give us the victory who always causes us to triumph. I was trying to, all of a sudden it went, all I can think of is a victory, you know. He will subdue our iniquities, and Thou, God, will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And then He walks on the water. I love it. Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace, the ability of God, did much more abound. God, I can't get the victory over this. And He says, you think I could? Why don't you come and admit it to me and then ask me to take you through the process to get this rooted out of you, even remove the seed of where it entered into you in the first place. Get your healing, get you loved, help you to break agreement with all the stinking thinking and choices and would you like it to be gone? Would you like it to quit cropping up instead of you knocking it down on one head over here and it pops up somewhere else? That's because you're trying to do it. Because He will subdue our iniquities. I'm sorry, five words. He will subdue our iniquities. Is this the Word of God? It's not the word Harv, right? It's the Word of God. He will, not just could, but will subdue, tame, okay, our, me, iniquities, sin, transgression. Somebody ought to get excited.
I'm excited.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Folks, do you know this is the quietest world you're ever going to be in? Because whether you go up and down, it's going to be a lot noisier than here. People in heaven aren't going to be just sitting there like people in church. I'm telling you, I've read the book. It ain't like that at all. It's noisy. To the praise of the glory of His grace, His ability, wherein He hath made us accepted. You want to be accepted. Somebody called us this morning. I'm too bad a person. I don't think that you would let me come to your church because I am too bad of a person. You wouldn't accept me. I've had people come to us. I've got sin. I would mess up your church. And I said, I not only want you here, I want you to stand up front and tell everybody about it. And if they have a problem, let them leave. That's their heart problem. I said, I'd rather have a church full of honest, real, open, vulnerable, and transparent people than playing little games. Not in a game plan, even though I had to go to New York and do game fair. Okay? Wasn't fair. Anyway. Okay. To the praise of the glory of His grace, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, He hath made us accepted next to His heart, in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Last verse, Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest, and he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to go over something real quick. I want you to get this. If you get this, it's like a maybe a five-point outline or something. If you get this, this will help you so much. This whole study deals with how do we deal with sin, okay? In Matthew 12, 31. I want you to understand this thought. You need to keep short accounts with sin. Do you ever go a day without sinning? Go ahead and lie and raise your hand. Okay, I didn't think so. Okay, none of us do. We all sin. So how do you deal with it? When you sin, okay, immediately confess it. That means immediately admit it. Okay? Be fully honest about it with God. No jade, remember? J-A-D-E. No justifying, no arguing, no defending, no explaining, and no blame shifting. As soon as you sin, a girl walking down the street, man grabs her, pulls her in the alley, rapes her, beats her. Okay? We've dealt with this. Okay? Did the guy do wrong? Okay. But how did she respond? You see, he did wrong. That's between him and God. God's going to deal with him. Every sin has to be paid for. But how does she respond? Hate, anger, vengeance, murder, unforgiveness, bitterness. She's just separated herself from God by holding all these. I know two women that got raped by a man, different men, different cities, different women, two women, while one of them was a lady of the streets that we led to the Lord, and she adopted my wife and I as her parents and hung out at her house every day. One day, she got connected to this guy, stinking thinking, and he raped her. He threatened to murder her children if she didn't do what he wanted. The whole time, this is a new convert. A woman who had been a woman of the streets. While she's getting raped, she's telling him, you need to accept Jesus. She was telling him everything we had told her. You need to be born again. God can forgive you. While he's raping her, threatening to murder. He was a professional hitman. He ended up meeting Jesus. I led him to Jesus. Because one day after she kept witnessing to him, while he's holding her against her will, I mean, we're talking about a couple of weeks here. Threatening the kids, scaring her to death, beating her, raping her repeatedly. But she had hung around us, met Jesus, and learned how to live Jesus and let Jesus live through her. And instead of getting mad, angry, bitter, blah, 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 vengeance, murder, she said, you bad man, you just need Jesus. He came to my house, knocked on my door and said, you got to get me to Jesus. And he met Jesus. And when we left that town a few months later, he cried like a baby and said, who's going to take care of me when you leave? Who's going to love me to Jesus? There are people in your life, in the secret places, They're crying out to God that they don't know, saying, who is going to love me to Jesus? We got to get over looking at what they do and how they treat us and how they talk to us. Jesus died for him. Do you understand? He's worth the blood of Jesus to the Father. And he put him in your life because he wants to reach him through you. Do you understand, Nate? Do you understand? Miss, I don't like anybody. Do you understand? And see, you've changed so much because you understand. I'm just saying, there's so many more. He's getting ready to bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. And he's going to flood you. What do you think we got a 17,000 square foot building for? God, we have 50, 100 people, whatever. And I say, you must be up to something again, aren't you? Jehovah's Snickerfritz. Okay. Number one, short accounts with sin. We need to immediately confess. Immediately, as soon as it comes to you. You don't got to wait till you come here so you can come up here and kneel to get it taken care of. Just make an altar out of anything. An altar is a meeting place for God. Immediately, as soon as it comes to your attention, confess. I'm teaching you how to live in His presence instead of having to keep coming back to God. Wouldn't you like to live there? Okay? Immediately confess. Be fully honest. No justifying, arguing, defending, explaining, or blame shifting. Dear Holy Spirit, this is your prayer. Dear Holy Spirit, if I start to jade, if I start to justify, argue, defend, explain, or blame shift, make me so aware. You want to pray that? Just say yes. He's going to take you a minute. He's going to answer it. And he's the holy reminderer, and he's going to remind you when you start to justify, argue, defend, explain, or blame shift. It's his fault. And then God's going to go, you're blame shifting. How are you responding? Are you angry? Are you bitter? Are you calling them names? Are you gossiping, running them down? Now, number three. The whole key is, I only want Jesus living in me. I only want Jesus living in me. I only want Jesus living in me. Want no bad devil's going to kick him out. Want no bad devil's going to kick him out. Only want Jesus living in me all the time. James 4, 7 and 8. Number 4, thank Jesus. 1 John 1, 9. Thank Jesus for His blood. Thank Jesus for His forgiveness. And thank Jesus for His cleansing. Number 5, what is the root, Jesus? What is the seed? How did this originate in me? How did this get in me? Why am I angry? Why am I talking bad to people? Why am I just selfish? What is the root? What is the seed? Please reveal it so I can break agreement with you and invite you to come and remove it so it doesn't live in me anymore, have any more fruit in me. Then embrace cleansing. Jesus, I embrace your cleansing. See, forgiveness, He comes and forgives and says, okay, I forgive you. Now, do you want it all gone? Do you want to get freedom? Do you want to have victory in your life? You need cleansing. Let's go back to why you do this. And then He'll remove that whole root system. But He's got to identify it. You can't do it. You've got to ask Him. He will do that. And then ask God to give you true, deep, and full repentance. I don't need shallow repentance, Lord. Not just, you know, kids. Tell them you're sorry. I'm sorry. No, they're not. They're little liars. They only said it because you're bigger than them and you made them. God, I want true, deep, full repentance. I want to see this sin through your eyes. I want to see, think, and feel about it the way you do because I want to have a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of action. True, deep, full repentance. Would you come work that in me? He said, I will. It was so bad. Thanks for asking. Now cooperate with whatever He's taken you through. This is about how to live in His presence. This is about how to live in victory. This is about how to live Jesus. Do you need me to go over that again real quick? Or are we good? Questions, comments? You know what's neat, Jesus? Is you. And we just commit this time into your hands. Now, Lord, if you're drawing people and you want somebody, like if right now they need to do business with you, just come forward. Just come kneel up here and just, it's an altar, a meeting place with you and God. Come and do business. If you want to go home and do that, that's fine. But Father, what I'm asking is that you would take these words, take your word, take these thoughts you gave us today and work inside of us to bring us into oneness with you, that we could live with you just like Jesus, just hanging out with you. I always do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And when we mess up, we fess up immediately. And we just go through and we deal with it thoroughly. No more pussyfooting around. No more playing some religious game. No more just acting like everything's okay or like I didn't really mean it or trying to argue it away or justify it. But Lord, we would get open, honest, real, vulnerable. We would just become really honest with you. Because Lord, you delight in mercy. You want to forgive us and you want to have a relationship, but you have a pattern, a way for us to do that. And we've got to deal with things completely open and honest. I love that verse, 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You're just looking for total honesty, and that's what we want. You want to be free? Yes. To what degree you're willing to be honest, it's to that degree you get free. And so, Lord, help us to get free as you want us to be. And we just say thank you. We just commit this time into your hands, asking you to be the gardener. Take the seed of God, plant it inside of us. Help us have fertile hearts that you could bring forth fruit to the glory of Jesus and to the salvation and victory in the lives of others. And we say, thank you, Jesus. You're incredible. Amen.